This is the Citizens Council Forum, the American viewpoint with a Southern accent, presented by the Citizens Councils of America on behalf of affiliated state organizations throughout the South. Citizens' councils are dedicated to states' rights and racial integrity, to individual liberty, and to race relations based on common sense, not on the power politics of left-wing pressure groups. The citizens' councils are primarily a means of mobilizing public opinion. Informed people will not surrender their freedom. Now, from Washington, here is your host for Citizens' Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Citizens Council Forum. We're happy to have as our guest today Senator Herman Talmadge, a Democrat from Georgia. Senator Talmadge is a member of the Senate Finance and the Agriculture and Forestry Committees. Senator, very happy to have you back with us today.
Thank you, Dick. It's a real pleasure to be back with you.
Senator Talmadge, it appears that the position which you and other Southern senators took in 1957 when you opposed civil rights legislation is now being upheld in the courts. I believe a federal court down in Macon, Georgia, ruled the injunctive provisions of the Civil Rights Act unconstitutional. Could you tell us something about this?
Yes, Dick. That case originated in Terrell County, Georgia, and was the case of the United States versus Raines. The district judge, Judge T. Hart Davis, held that the injunctive features of the Civil Rights Act of 1957 were so broad that it authorizes suits against individuals as well as officials against state and local and county governments. And he held that it was therefore violative of the 10th and the 14th Amendments of the Constitution of the United States. Of course, we argued that in the Congress in 1957. But it was a political issue, and feelings were so high that it didn't stand on constitutional grounds. They wanted legislation, and they passed it regardless of the Constitution. Now, I feel that that is one of the greatest victories for states' rights and local self-government and protection of individual citizens that we've had in our country since Andrew Johnson vetoed the Civil Rights Bill when he was President of the United States. The Congress overrode Andrew Johnson's veto, finally went to the Supreme Court of the United States for a decision. And in a unanimous decision, United States versus Stanley, I believe was the name of the case, they held that that act was unconstitutional. Now, unless our Supreme Court has been so brainwashed by psychological and psychiatric notions, I feel that they'll uphold Judge Davis if it gets to them.
Now, Senator Talmadge, do you feel that this decision will have any bearing on the passage of any further civil rights legislation by Congress?
It certainly should, Dick, because it's clear evidence that legislation in that field is contrary to the Constitution of the United States. But we must remember that these issues are politically motivated. And sometimes when politicians are seeking advantage, they don't permit the Constitution of the United States to stand in their way toward that end.
I see. You have proposed some legislation which sets up minimum qualifications for members of the United States Supreme Court. Why do you think there should be such qualifications, and what sort of requirements are you favoring, Senator?
I have proposed a series of bills, Dick, dealing with problems of that nature. The one you refer to is S-880. Unfortunately, when our foreparents wrote the Constitution of the United States, they assumed that all appointments to the federal courts would be by the best lawyer, would be from among the best lawyers in the country, and they left a complete loophole as to the qualifications for appointees. For instance, if the President of the United States saw fit, he could appoint a high school student to the United States Supreme Court. He could appoint a carpenter or a shoemaker if he saw fit. He could appoint himself, or he could appoint an alien. Unfortunately, in recent years, we have seen so many appointments on the United States Supreme Court of politicians, those who would change our social order, those who would change the meaning of the Constitution of the United States, until the time has come when the people, if we are to protect our constitutional form of government, must take action and prescribe minimum qualifications for the Supreme Court justices. And toward that end, my bill is very simple. It provides that prior to appointment to the United States Supreme Court, any man must have at least 5 years of judicial experience. And that 5 years judicial experience is defined to mean 5 years judicial experience on the highest court of any state in the Union, or 5 years judicial experience on the District or Circuit Court of Appeals of the United States. Certainly that, to my mind, is the very minimum qualifications we ought to have for the highest tribunal in the United States of America.
We've been hearing lately quite a bit of criticism of the United States Supreme Court, and not all of this criticism has been coming from the South. How about this?
It certainly has not, Dick, and that is one of the most hopeful signs that I see. Normally, the Bar Association never gets involved in controversies that might be considered political or in any wise critical of any court. Yet the American Bar Association has passed scathing resolutions in recent years regarding some of the decisions of our federal courts and their laxity toward communist conspirators in our country and in other matters. That's a very hopeful sign, because we know the lawyers are the best versed men in our country on the Constitution and legal matters. Perhaps even more important than that is the fact that the chief justices of all of the 48 states in convention assembled passed a resolution in California last year that the United States Supreme Court must recognize that they are not a lawmaking body and must exercise judicial restraint. And their resolution was highly critical, and it was supported by 38, I believe, of the chief justices in the United States of America. Now, the resolutions committee that reported this resolution, as I recall, had the chief justice of Washington State, and I believe Michigan, and I think Minnesota, and New York State, and I believe perhaps New Jersey, Massachusetts, Maryland, and only three of the justices were from the South. And as I recall, 37 or 38 justices supported it, several were absent, and only 8 opposed it. In addition to that, the American Farm Bureau has passed very strong resolutions, and many other organizations of similar character. So the criticism of our court certainly is not limited to the South or the Southerners. A good example of that, I think, was yesterday or recently. The House of Representatives of our Congress passed for the second time in two legislative sessions H.R. 3, which simply says that the Supreme Court or other federal courts will not invalidate acts of the state government on the ground that they have been absorbed by federal authority unless a federal act is in clear conflict with the state act that it assumes to overthrow. And that certainly has been the intent of the founders of our republic and the intent of our people for almost 200 years, and was the law up until we had a sociologist on the Supreme Court who conceived it their duty to abrogate all authority unto themselves and to destroy state and local government and local laws.
Senator Talmadge, you are the author and sponsor of a constitutional amendment aimed at restoring state and local control over public school systems. Now, I know that you've heard quite a bit from people throughout the nation on this, but how would you size up public opinion throughout the nation on the question of whether we should have local self-government or government by Supreme Court decree?
Well, Dick, of course, we thought that the states had authority to operate their public school systems, and they certainly did up until May the 17th, 1954, when the Supreme Court suddenly amended the Constitution. Now, this is the first corrective legislation since that time, more than 5 years ago, that has reached the hearing stage. Fortunately, we had some of the most able lawyers and public officials from all over the United States come in and testify in behalf of that resolution. We've built a strong affirmative record. I have received many thousands of letters and telegrams and newspaper editorials and comments from throughout the United States in support of that resolution. I am convinced the overwhelming majority of the people of America believe that public schools ought to be operated by the people on the state and local level. But you know, political considerations being what they are, they're fearful of offending some minority block vote group. It's going to be exceedingly difficult to get such legislation passed by the Congress and submitted to the states for ratification. I have high hopes that we are winning new converts to our cause, though I certainly think that's true because I receive letters to that effect.
Now, Senator, in other words, you feel that the people throughout the nation are in basic agreement on this. The problem is one of communications, one of informing them and reaching them.
Exactly. In many areas of our country, the question's academic, not real.
I see. Well, is there anything that you feel we can do to
bring
about this
informing? I certainly
do,
and I first want to commend the citizens' councils for making programs such as these possible that appear on 38 television stations and 139 radio stations in 37 states in the Union, including Alaska. It's information that will win the fight. We must build up a force of knowledge among the people that counters the extremist views of extremist groups who want to change our form of government. And the way to do that is to present the facts to the people which you're doing.
Well, Senator Talmadge, I'd like to thank you very much for being with us today. Our time has gone by very rapidly, and we'll be looking forward to having you again soon.
Thank you, Dick.
Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Senator Herman Talmadge of the state of Georgia. We'll be back again next week at the same time with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
This forum has been presented by the Citizens Councils of America. We Americans are threatened with the loss of many of our hard-won freedoms, the historic right of each sovereign state to govern itself without interference from political courts, the right of the individual to choose his own associates without the prodding of federal bayonets, and the right of each citizen to make up his own mind in the American way, free from alien propaganda. Each of us has a job to do. Your support is needed. For information, write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We will be happy to send you, without obligation, copies of our literature showing how you can help. Just write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. The South is organizing. Join with those who stand publicly, fearlessly, and determined that these freedoms will be maintained. We'll be right back.